As I mentioned, we just returned from council in Kansas City, and I'll be sharing some more about that next week. In fact, we have seven of our people are coming back from council this afternoon, and I think we'll get them on the platform next week to tell you some of what they've been impacted with. But just marvelous teachings and challenges, and I was deeply impressed by a number of things. So over the next weeks, I will share some of those with you. I want to share a couple of thoughts about Memorial Day. We want to do just a little thought and a little portion about that. I read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12, these words. He talks to, as Moses is telling the people, he says, it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with the covenant and mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, the grain, the new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to, their fathers to give to you. The point there is that we need to remember the heritage, we need to remember the direction, we need to remember the blessings that God had given and God has bestowed in days past. And then we read in Judges chapter 8 and verse 34, he says, but the children of Israel did not remember. They did not remember. They did not remember God who had delivered them from the hands of their enemies on every side. And so one of the things as we look at Israel is it declined and it went into persecution and eventually into captivity was that they had failed to remember. And in failing to remember, they lost God's blessing and God's care, and they lost ultimately their country in that. Psalm 106, a couple of them in Psalms. Psalm 106, verse 7. Lamenting what had happened, the psalmist says, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies. And so one of the things that says the nation drifted away as the nation got in trouble, those who were alive came to be reminded that they had forgotten, and they lamented that, and they confessed that they had forgotten what had gone before them. And then it's Psalm 143, verse 5, the psalmist says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. And this should be our mentality and our thought as well. We think about Memorial Day in particular, reminds us of those who laid down their lives. We go back to the Civil War. But I want to just highlight World War I in particular. And there was a Canadian doctor who was serving in the British forces in the lowlands of the Netherlands. And in a particular campaign of just tremendous carnage, a dear lieutenant that was a friend of his was killed. And as the next day, he was going to officiate the burying of this one that he had known back in the home country. He wrote these words. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. He wrote that. He tore it out of his notebook and threw it down. And another soldier picked it up. And it has become maybe the hallmark of lament from World War I, and it's particularly a Canadian thing. He says, take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch, throwing the torch to the next generation, throwing the torch. And they are buried where the poppies grow. Ravi Zacharias, who spoke at council, was speaking to a Major League Baseball team. And he asked them, how many of you know where your grandfather is buried? And a number raised their hands. They knew where their grandfather was buried. How many of you know where your great-grandfather is buried? And very few knew. His point was, we are but soon to be forgotten. He says, three generations, and you're basically forgotten in three generations. We tend to think we're quite something, don't we? Andy and I were talking about this last night, and I think Andy has even been to the site of his great-great-great-great-grandfather. He knows where he's buried, in outside of Coshocton, Ohio. But very few of us know where our great-great-grandfather is buried. Very few of us will be there. Our lives become pretty insignificant in the grand scope of things until, though, we realize in Christ, they do have great significance, don't they? Well, may it be that we remember, you know, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, the mark of people who are not saved, people who are not right with the Lord, is they do not glorify the Lord, neither are they thankful. To glorify the Lord is to recognize not only He's the Creator, but He's the Sustainer. He's the one who gives the reins. He's the one who gives life. Giving Him credit for being God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings and the sovereign. Giving Him credit for that. But neither being thankful is a mark. Being thankful for that which we have. And that which we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven, wrote Abraham Lincoln in March of 1863. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers and wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. 1863. I read a book recently, and the man was saying, what is going to be your epitaph? What's going to be on your headstone? He says, I want my headstone to have the number 100 with an X behind it, 100 times. And he was getting that from Matthew chapter 13, the seed being sown, you know, hard, stony, weedy, some into fertile soil, and it's going to spring forth and it's going to bear some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. He says, I want to be known as one who bore 100-fold. That was his mission in life. I mean, what do we want to be remembered by when somebody walks through a sleeping yard where we lie, waiting the call of the Lord? What will be on our stone? What will those who know us put? Maybe maybe you develop your own stone. You put on there what you want on there. Maybe you've already called that. But if it's left to those who come behind you, what are they going to say about you? What would be a terse phrase or even a single word or a symbol that would mark you? What might be on your headstone? Well, the future, and we think about those who have been laid to rest. We were just talking with somebody even this morning that took the ashes of a friend to the headwaters of the Mississippi in northern Minnesota and cast them on the headwaters of the Mississippi. Those ashes will go the world, right? We come to our end, but it's not the end. And so we read these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, not everybody is going to die. Some are going to get a pass on dying. And we go back to a Saturday a week ago. The idea that the rapture was going to happen. It did not. But the idea is that it was going to happen then. But the guarantee is it will happen. He says here that some will not sleep. But sleep is euphemism for the fact that believers sleep in Christ. We die. But we'll all be changed, meaning they as well as we who are alive. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised. Incorruptible. And this mortal will put on immortality. So, if we are alive, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and if we're alive, we will be instantly changed. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that says, death is swallowed up in what? Victory. So as death, as much as a challenge, as much pain as it brings, as evil, as wicked as it is conquered in Jesus. Amen. Amen. I invite you to take a hymn book. And let's read a couple of verses. Now I want to sing a couple of verses. I want you to turn to page 546. 546. And I want to stand. Let's stand together and we'll read together as a poem, page 546. And then we're going to sing Faith of Our Fathers. But I was reading this and he talks about all the saints who from their labors rest. And we're talking about those who have parted this life. We have yet their temple. We have their house planted, waiting the resurrection. They are in the presence of the Lord. But let's read these words, 546, for all the saints. For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou, in the darkness drear, their one true light. Alleluia, alleluia. O, may thy soldiers faithful, true, and bold fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and all with them the victor's crown of gold. Alleluia, alleluia. Verse 4, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Verse 5, but lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day, the saints triumphant rise in bright array, the King of the glory passes on his way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearl streams in the countless host, singing to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Page 279. Let's sing the first and the last verses of Faith of Our Fathers, page 279.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too, as love knows how. by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Yes, Father, there are those who've gone before us. We talked about Vietnam and Jaffrey and all those missionaries that faithfully served, and some of them maybe not realizing much reward for their effort. But we're reminded, Lord, that our efforts do not go unnoticed by you. And you promise rewards. You promise as we sow, as Jeff and Mike and the farmers put the corn and the bean in the ground, you promise a harvest. We reap what we sow. So let us not be weary in well-doing, but let us labor on, knowing that the rewards are to come. Father, we think about those who labored before. We think about those that you brought into our lives, that prayed over us and reached out to us and taught us and challenged us and maybe even confronted us in our lostness. Thank you for their persistence. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their faith. Thank you, Lord, for reaching down and touching us, for calling us to come to your open arms, to come running, to come home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those who've gone before that laid down their lives. We think about those in the wars that have gone over to die, that we might have the privilege of assembling just like this, that we might publicly speak of you and cry out to you and sing of you, that we might publicly carry our Bibles, that we might go to homes and we might go into hospital rooms and we might go to one another and share the news and talk about you in a public way. That has come at a cost. We thank you, Lord, for those who've gone before, many, many thousands of nameless and faceless people to us, but not to you. But Lord, we're reminded that you passed a mantle, you passed the challenge to us, and may it be that we do not fail the next generation to be reminded that it's by your hand, it's by your grace, it's by your goodness that we live and subsist, and we need you every hour. And when we cry out to you, when we come to you, we draw near to you. You promise to draw near to us. You promise to those who diligently seek you that you will reward. And we have a nation we have failed to diligently seek. We have pushed you to the fringe of society. We pushed you outside of the walls of civilization. We have pushed you into the corner, and yet we expect a blessing. And then we have travesties and destruction like Joplin, and we complain to you because, well, why didn't you stop that? But yet we want nothing to do with you. Lord, how can we be such? But all your mercy is everlasting. Your grace is wonderful. Thank you that you have not disposed of us. But yet you reach out to us, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. And Lord, may it be that you shine in us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see you coming through us. And we're reminded, the longer I serve him, the longer I serve him, the longer I serve you, the sweeter you grow. And Father, may that ooze out the cracks of our lives. May it be, Father, that our neighbors and our family people and that work associates, may they have a sense there's something different, and they ask us of the hope that lies within us. Father, may we be that savory salt. May we be that penetrating light. May we be Christ incarnate. May we be the hands and the feet and the voice of you to a world. And we'd ask, God, that your Spirit would be pleased to empower and move and work and touch and transform. We believe, God, that it doesn't take numbers. It takes you. And thank you that you have us. Thank you, Lord, for our country. Thank you for those who've gone before. Thank you for those who impact our lives today for the good. Thank you, God. May we be a thankful people. May we be a content people. May we be an obedient people. May we be a worshiping people. May we go to cemeteries these hours. And may we be thankful, but may we also thank you. May we praise you. May our hearts be warmed. May our lips exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. And we ask these things because of the finished work, because of the invitation to come boldly before the throne. We have not because we ask not. We're asking, Lord. We're not here to ask amiss. We're here to ask for your glory and for your power and for your reputation. And may you be pleased to honor that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.